Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
We are excited to know where we're going to be playing and excited to have a city that is excited about having us.
Once you're a Raider, you're always a Raider, no matter what city.
We are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of the Vegas Nation podcast brought to you by SPN Sports Mobile, by Station Casino, and also presented to you by Favor. Drinkoffavor.com. I'm your host, Heidi Fang, joined with our Review Journal sports columnist, Ed Graney, as well as our two Raiders writers, Adam Hill and Vinny Bonsignor, who was on the beat last night and breaking news on Twitter, I might add, when it came to the number 12 and I believe the 19th pick. You were first with that information out there. So you guys will want to follow everything that we're doing on VegasNation.com as well as on the app. Download that and head over to social media. That way you guys can make sure to keep up with everything that we're tweeting, putting out there. We had all the stuff with the Las Vegas Raiders gear, the official stuff tweeted out there last night as well when that information became available. Las Vegas getting the draft back in 2022. That's a big news for us here in the city that could really use the boost right now of some good news. And lastly, don't forget tonight, Channel 14, Your View. Cox, Channel 14, Your View. You're going to want to check out our show 9 p.m. Pacific, and also on Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific, we're doing those live draft shows, Vegas Nation Live. So, yeah, Ed, you had actually been the one on our final mock draft to say you were going to go with Henry Ruggs at the number 12 spot, while all of us are thinking Lamb or thinking Judy or thinking maybe even Justin Jefferson. But the Raiders lock it down on Henry Ruggs, the guy out of Alabama that plays opposite of Jerry Jeudy. So what did you think about this pick, Ed? And what was your great insight as to that pick? Was it rumblings you had heard, or was there something that you knew before all of us? What was it?
I know nothing. Excuse me. I know nothing. I hear no rumblings. It was a complete guess. As I prefaced the comment, this is a Clayton Kershaw curveball. I'd read the, you know, he kept showing up in mocks like late in the week. Like he was never their pick until like Tuesday and Wednesday. So, and they said Mayock had fallen in love with someone, and Mayock obviously is not the guy to fall in love with the guy when he should pick. So I just guessed at it. Who knows, you know, next year is probably, it might be an A pick. Next year we might say it was a C and they should have picked Lamb or Judy, but they got the guy who can run. I don't really know what that means until we see him. It'll probably open up things for other people, but obviously this was their guy. I don't have a problem at that spot when there's three guys. If you're in love with guy, then you know what, take the guy you're in love with, but now you're on the hook if the other two guys are a lot better down the road.
It does mean that Al Davis is smiling from up above. You got a speed guy here on the Las Vegas Raiders. And like you kind of alluded to there, Ed, he's the first guy picked overall out of all this great crop of wide receivers in terms of that. So, Vinny, you had the scoop on Henry Ruggs. I'm not going to ask where your sources came from, but you beat everybody on Twitter on the timeline. I looked it down. Vinny was the guy with that information first. Vinny, when it comes to Ruggs, did the Raiders lock it down on the right guy here out of the crop of wide receivers that we see?
Well, I mean, this may sound like a cop out, but I don't think they could have gone wrong with any of the three top wide receivers: Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs. You know, and I think in Ruggs's case, there's one thing that he adds better than you know what the other two guys had, and it's something that you can't teach, and that's speed. Presumably, you could teach him how to run better pass routes, teach him the position better. You know, he could get more up to speed on reading defensive coverages, being on the same page with the quarterback. A lot of those things are coachable. What's not coachable that he has that nobody else had in the draft really is just ridiculous, stupid speed that makes him an instantaneous threat when he's on the football field. And he's done enough on tape. If you watch tape and even on you know, when you dig into him, if you just watch him, even on plays that the ball didn't come to him, he beat his guy. Like, he was open. It was just a decision of, well, I'm gonna go on this play to Jerry Jeudy or what, any other of the embarrassment of riches that Alabama and Tua and the other Alabama quarterbacks had to work with. So the production wasn't as high as Jerry Jeudy did, but that doesn't mean he wasn't available on a lot of plays to be able to be productive. So, and I think, you know, Mike Mayock, I think, tipped his hand a little bit, you know, when he said, whatever wide receiver that they were going to get, he believes in John Gruden's system enough to know that there's flexibility in to fit a system around a certain skill set. And so you add that speed to John Gruden and he's going to cook up ways to exploit it and to make it a weapon on his team. And I think that that's exactly what's going to happen.
So, Adam, when you look over the guys that here we are seeing in the wide receiver department that are still remaining, when you think ahead to what could be in the draft for the Raiders today, being a Friday and the third round coming up for them with three picks, do you think that they can wrap around and find another wide receiver that's still a quality person that they could put in here at one of those positions? What do you think here that they could do with the picks that they have?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a possibility. I think it's always a possibility to add more players at any position that you think will help your football team. And I think there's no question that in the NFL these days, you need a multitude of guys. It's not just, hey, we have our two starting receivers, we have three receivers. You want a bunch of them because there's a lot of different uses that you can even have for receivers. And I think that what they did yesterday was fill the two most glaring needs on their roster. They got a wide receiver that they think will be a wide receiver one that they really needed to pair with Tyrell Williams. And then you got Hunter Renfro. They needed a starting cornerback. If you take a cornerback in the first round, whether, you know, a lot of people think it's going to be a starter or not, you're going to almost have to start a guy that you take in the first round. So now you've got a starting corner too. So you've got the needs filled. So now what you can do with the rest of your picks is just look at who the most talented players are, who you think could help your roster at some point. Like, you don't have to pick any kind of needs anymore. So I think it's, you know, the old traditional cliche of best player available. I think they really are in a position now to just take best player available for the most part the rest of the weekend. And, you know, I think you look at depth at running back, certainly more help along the defensive line. Those things are going to be what they're looking for. But they are in a good position now with those needs filled to go wherever they want the rest of the way.
Ed, you had wrote a column that said the drafting of Henry Ruggs puts Derek Carr on the spot, that he is on the clock. I like that. That was the opening sentence there in the column. Excuse me. So when you think about it, and Derek Carr has had a ton of different offensive coordinators. He's been through coaching changes. He's been through different playbooks. He's been through losing key wide receivers. Assuming everybody gets into training camp and out of training camp completely healthy, is this where we have to say, okay, this is Derek Carr's last go around, unless, you know, something crazy happens that they give him a real shot at leading this team into a playoff spot?
Well, if he leads him to the playoffs, he'll be back. Yeah, I mean, this is his. I think, you know, I would think the final resume, truth or false with him on if he's a complete quarterback or not. Yeah, look, it hasn't all been him, but he's the quarterback, so you take the lion's share of responsibility. It's the position you play, and they have not won with him more often than not. Obviously, he now has a great tight end, a great running back. His slot receiver was good as a rookie. He has a one wide receiver. If his offensive line stays healthy, it's good. He has everything he needs to be a productive quarterback, both in the short yardage and in the deep yards. And again, I mean, we have to make this clear. He had Amari Cooper. He's had decent receivers. Last year, he did not. They have led, I don't know if people know this, on his career, the Raiders have always been in the bottom five in drops. That's not his fault. But he's a quarterback. And he has to now step up and say that I'm the quarterback and throw deep. I'm not afraid to throw deep. And I now have a guy with some speed. And we'll see. But yes, do I believe if they have a losing record this year, he will be gone in some form? Yes, I do. If they win, then he'll be back.
Let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll break down the number 19 pick of the Raiders, cornerback Damon Arnette out of Ohio State University. Stay tuned right here on the Vegas Nation podcast. They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are all just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com. Welcome back to the Vegas Nation podcast. It's Heidi Fang, Vinny Bonsignor, Ed Graney, and Adam Hill. We are breaking down all things that happened for the Raiders in the first round of the NFL draft tonight, second round, third. And of course, we also will have the shows coming at you, Vegas Nation Live, with all of the crew. We're going to give you our quick thoughts, fast takes with the Raiders and everything that happened and transpires on day two of the NFL draft. So tune into that on Cox Your View channel 14, 9:30 this evening. But let's talk here about the cornerback, Damon Arnette, who the Raiders drafted and I think left a lot of people scratching their head. My timeline blew up on Twitter after that pick. Like, what just happened? Oh my God. Like, people were just reacting just out of control with their thoughts on this one. Vinny, when you think about what the Raiders did here, was it a reach?
I mean, if you believe everyone else's, you know, if you believe the Mel Kuypers and the Todd McShays and all of those type of people of the world, then I guess it's a reach. You know, a couple of things: the Raiders were not going to leave this first round without a wide receiver and a cornerback. And it's hard for me to believe that when they got to 19 and decided, hey, we do need a quarterback. Now, if you want to say that they reached for a position, yeah, possibly, because they felt like they needed to fill that position. But when 19 came around and they looked at their board and sized up who the best cornerbacks were left on the board, it's hard for me to believe that they just said, you know what, we're going to go with the guy that we have fourth left on the board rather than our top guy. Obviously, he was the top guy left on their board at cornerback, and they drafted him. And one thing that, and we're going to figure out in a year or two whether they were right or wrong, but that's how that goes all the time, and that's the fun part about sports. The one thing I really like about Damon Arnette is, you know, he wanted to come out last year as a junior, but he got talked out of it. He was basically told bluntly, you're not ready to go play in the NFL right now. He didn't sulk. He didn't come back. You know, he decided to came back to come back, and he didn't sulk, and he didn't take the year off. He got better, and he got better by a lot, and he played himself into, at the very worst, you know, the 58th player ranked in by most pundits, and in the Raiders' case, a first-round talent at cornerback. You're either getting better or you're getting worse in life and in sports in general. And he got better, and to his credit, he used that year, this year, this past year, to do that, to work on things that people told him he needed to work on. And he achieved all of those goals. So if you're looking at what this kid's made up of and what he's all about, I think that's a good signal of what he's all about.
Ed, when you look at some of the things I've seen about Damon Arnette, they say that, you know, he's only allowed one touchdown that's come his way, that he's been kind of a shutdown guy at his position at Ohio State. What's your quick thoughts here on Damon Arnette at the 19th spot?
Well, Vinny and I talked this morning, and he'll remember my point here. I think it's a complete reach, and I only have two reasons why. 60 guys got video cameras at their house. This guy didn't. We have no idea what this guy looks like. And two, and deservedly so, I might add, Adam Hill had an official Raiders draft hat before this guy did. So I'm going to say he was a reach. Look, who knows? I mean, they obviously liked him. I think when we saw what we saw with Cleveland Furrow last year, now this corner from Ohio State, they probably tried to trade back both times and didn't get what they wanted, so they stayed on the guy they loved, whether it was Cleveland Furl at 4 last year or this corner Arnette at 19 this year. Could they have traded back and got him later? Of course they could have, because I think they're the only one who thought he was a first-round pick. But obviously what they heard back from teams of what that pick was worth to them, they didn't get it, so they just took the guy. Again, I think it's a C draft right now. You can come back. I said this last night with Vinny. You can come back to me next year, and I might say it's an A draft. I might say it's an F draft. He gets an opportunity to start. Trayvon Millen's on one side. He'll compete for the starting job. He'll probably be the starter. And now it's up to the kid to prove that the Raiders were right and everyone else was wrong.
Adam, what's your quick take on Arnette?
So reach is a very interesting term in the draft because there is really no set definition of what that is. yes, if you listen to what the pundits have as their rankings, then it was absolutely a reach and was probably not the right pick to make. If you want that guy, you have to trade down to get him. But really, you don't know where people had him ranked. So let's just take, for example, that everyone else in the league had him ranked where, you know, the scout kind of composite was, late 50s, even some, you know, let's just say late 40s. If that's where everybody else had him ranked and nobody else was going to take him, then this kid could be Deion Sanders and it was still a bad pick. That's the bottom line. He could be the greatest cornerback of all time. It's still a bad pick. But you don't know where people had him. There could have been other teams that had him ranked, 20th or even 14th or 15th. Like, you don't know where he was on the other boards. So it's just really tough to say for a long time. But like I said, even if the kid is a Hall of Fame player, it's a bad pick if other teams weren't going to take him for the next, 20, 30 picks. You can't make that happen. And, Mike Mayock said the other day that the worst mistake you can make in the draft is reaching for need at a position. So if that's what happened, then it's a bad pick. But you don't know where people had him, so I think it's really tough to say that. And the Raiders clearly liked him. And the other part of this is, and we talked about going into the draft, that I think a lot of the rankings were a little bit different this year because there was not as much information exchanged. There were not all those conversations going on at pro days when everybody kind of gets on the same page where everybody's going to be ranked. I think there was going to be outliers. It just so happened the outlier in the first draft, the biggest outlier, was the Raiders. But that doesn't mean necessarily that everyone thought of him as a mid-second to early third-round pick. Other teams may have had him high too. We just don't know that. And the thing going into this draft, we did know there was two elite corners and nobody really knew who that third guy was. There was about six or seven names in that mix. Now, Arnett really wasn't one of them, but you don't know how people had it. So that third corner was kind of up for grabs. The Raiders clearly had a different idea of who that was than everybody else does, and now they hope for the best, and they hope that they were right and everybody else was wrong. And again, we don't know if everybody else is wrong because we don't know where people had them, but it's an interesting pick, and I think people overreact just because they trust a certain pundit or a certain ranking service. You don't know. They've done the work. You haven't. So you just have to wait and see how it is. But that is just where they are right now with this pick. And we'll see how it works out. And the other part of both corners, both Okuda and Arnett at Ohio State, I love all the people that are saying, well, this stat or that's that. Listen, it's different when you've got Chase Young chasing quarterbacks and quarterbacks only have a second and a half to make a decision. It's a little bit easier to play corner. So I think maybe you have to take that into consideration with both Okuda and Arnett, and we'll see how they do when they don't have, a defensive end in the face of the quarterback as soon as the snap takes place, and we'll find out in the NFL.
And real quick here, and to the point Adam made, and this is kind of a positive point towards Arnett, and he's going to have to prove himself. I don't think a lot of people remember, not to this level, but Josh Jacobs was a reach in people's mind, in a lot of people's minds, and look what he did. So, now it'd be great for them if Arnett comes back and produces at his spot like Josh Jacobs did. But Adam's exactly right. He could be a Hall of Famer. People are going to say he's a reach. And that just goes to the subjectivity of a draft. I'm more apt to believe more people had him in the third or fourth round. Even people like Gil Brandt, who's a Hall of Famer, who I kind of trust probably more than Kuiper or whoever. Gil Brandt had him in the 50s, high 50s. I think he does a good job evaluating. But Adam's exactly right. There's a lot of guys each year. I mean, we talked about the greatest all-time Raiders ever. Adam's guy, one of his favorite players from Michigan of all time, Charles Woodson, we talked about the all-time Raiders. That guy actually overachieved, and he was like a top-five pick. So you can be a reach and become a Hall of Famer and still be a reach, and you can be picked really high and outdo your selection. So I think if you're the Raiders, you're really hoping that Arnett follows Josh Jacobs' lead as somewhat of a reach and has a great season.
And one other thing to add real quick, and Adam, makes a good point. We don't know where he was on other teams' boards, but I got to believe that the Raiders had an inkling of where he might be on certain teams' boards that were drafting in between wherever they were from 19 to whatever pick they may have been able to get by trading off the 19th pick. I'm sure they had some kind of an idea like, we're going to miss him. Because we're not getting a pick high enough, in return to be able to ensure that we're going to get this guy. And when you get locked in on a guy and you've talked yourself into a guy and then you get a little bit cute and miss out on that guy and he turns out to be really a good player, that is one of the worst feelings a general manager could have 5 years down the line, knowing that if I had just done what I wanted to do and drafted him, he'd be on our team. It's worse when he goes someplace else because you got a little cute and lost your guy as a result.
So let's get into tonight. What do we think the Raiders are going to do here with 80, 81, 91? There's chances that maybe they trade some of those picks to try to get into another spot here in the draft. Maybe they go quarterback. Maybe they need some more wide receiver power. There's a lot of names on the board here. What do you think that they do here, Adam?
Well, I don't know that where they're going to be. I expect them to be in the market to try to trade around a little bit and make some moves and try to figure out, you know, exactly what they can get out of, you know, moving certain picks. I think they'd prefer to maybe package a little bit, go to the second round. I do still think that there's trade possibilities out there for some of these picks as well. You know, if they can, you know, if they could work something out. But like Vinny was referencing, I do believe they tried to trade down from 19. Mike Mayock basically confirmed that. And just said that, you know, the right partner wasn't there, the right deal wasn't there, and they decided to take their guy. So I think they're going to be listening to calls. They didn't initiate calls, but they took calls. I'm sure they'll be taking and initiating calls today and just trying to figure out where they want to move. But like we said, I think there's some room for some depth at running back. I think absolutely some more along the defensive line. I love, you know, I mentioned before the draft a guy like Josh Uche, who it feels like is moving up the boards a little bit, but if he was there in the third round, that's definitely a guy I would look at. You know, Malik Harrison is a guy we talked about a lot on this podcast before that might move up into the first round. I've seen him ranked all the way down into the, you know, 120s. So could he could still be on the board. That'd be some impact play at linebacker that they could move with. So I think there's a lot of possibilities, a lot of things they can do out there. But I do expect them to be pretty active today.
Vinny, what are your quick thoughts here on what the Raiders do in day two of the NFL draft?
Well, as usual, Adam seems to be reading my mind because I love Malik Harrison, the linebacker from Ohio State, Josh Uche, the linebacker from Michigan, possibility that he would be there. I can't rule out Jalen Hurts. I think for a lot of reasons, the Raiders want to bring in a young quarterback to start grooming and developing on a just-in-case basis. Terrell Burgess, the free safety from Utah. I really like Chase Claypool, wide receiver from Notre Dame. There's some really good young running backs. AJ Dillon from Boston College comes to mind. I think the Raiders could use a backup to Josh Jacobs. He got hurt a couple of times last year. You want to make sure that he's, you know, being managed correctly. So they could go in a whole lot of different directions. I do believe that I don't think they're done at wide receiver. So I think there's a strong possibility that that could happen. Depends on how the draft unfolds in front of them. But, you know, and you can't rule out Jalen Hurts. They've been linked to Jalen Hurts for some time now. The Chargers were too. The Green Bay Packers were as well. Both of those teams got their quarterback last night. So that takes them out of the equation. Who else, you know, is in on a Jalen Hurts? Are the Indianapolis Colts? You know, they were kind of designated to a Jordan Love situation. They didn't trade up to go get him. The Green Bay Packers took him. Does Jalen Hurts become a possibility for the Colts? So those are names that I would keep in mind if I was a Raider fan.
I would jump in. I would definitely look at them to take another corner at some point too.
Yeah,
I think they still need some depth there. I think that's something where they'll look. And I know that there's been plenty of talk around the Raiders about Jalen Hurts, and I know you've been high on him as well. I would be much more inclined to go with Jake Fromm. That's a guy that I think has a lot of potential. That's a guy that I would be looking at if he was falling into the third round. But I do think quarterback is something that's going to be addressed, and I think corner is still something to be addressed. And then, as we said, depth at running back, some linebacker help, and then any impact player along the defensive line would be helpful too.
If you're looking at cornerbacks, I'm sorry, if you're looking at cornerbacks, Bryce Hall from Virginia jumps out there. He should be there in that third round range. But a guy that I really, really, really liked was Pride Jr. I loved him at the Senior Bowl. Notre Dame, just a competitor, played in the slot on the outside. Looked like he could play a little bit of safety for you. So kind of a jack of all trades. Cornerbacks, and I think at this point in the draft, that's what you're looking for, guys that are going to be able to possibly step in day one in your sub packages and be a contributor.
It's really important, I think, according to my family, to get Jake Fromm because he was on QB1. So he was a Netflix guy. I think that's what it was. It was a great Netflix series. Yes. Adams on that. There's got to be a cornerback in the fourth round that's projected in the seventh or as a free agent, so they'll probably get him. But I do like Vinny's idea about a running back. I think that's one of the positions. And look, they need to get better defensively. They're not even competent yet, so they got to go defense. But that's one of the positions a lot of people aren't talking about. And given Josh Jacobs' health at the end of last year, I think they need to. I think they need a better room there in terms of their depth chart at running back. I agree with Vinny. I think they'll try to look for one. And it's Gruden, so you know there's as much as they need defensive help, they're going to go offense in a few spots. But that's a good – the running back's interesting. I think they need a backup, and I don't think a lot of people are talking about that.
Your QB1, don't forget Tate Martell was on that show too, by the way. Whatever happened to old Tate?
Yeah. He didn't do as well as Jake Fromm.
He's an Instagram star. He's a big-time social media guy now.
Yeah,
Adam would know. If it's on social media, Adam knows about it. But yeah, Troy Pride Jr., I like that name. I also like A.J. Dillon a lot from what I've seen out of him at Boston College. So we'll keep you guys all updated on everything that we know as it unfolds with the NFL draft. Adam and I will be on Facebook Live tonight with the Vegas Nation page after each pick that the Raiders make. Well, probably with 80 and 81, we'll wait if they keep those picks until after the 81st pick. But we will be with you tonight as well on Vegas Nation Live, Cox Your View Channel 14, 9:30 p.m. Check that out. Those are Pacific times, 4 p.m. for Saturday's show. And for Ed Graney, Vinny Bonsignor, and Adam Hill, we appreciate all of you guys listening. Don't forget to download that Vegas Nation app. Also, go to VegasNation.com. Subscribe wherever you're listening. Drop us some comments on Twitter at Vegas Nation. We love hearing from you guys. We will be back with another episode when this draft wraps up. So keep tuned here. We'll be back.